Of course, tonight the Eagles will honor Nick Foles, and when they do, obviously a lot of players are, you know, weighing in on his impact on the Eagles and careers. And let's listen to Jason Kelce. So Kelce was with us in studio last week, as he will be every Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30. And when we had Jason here in front of us, we asked him about Foles, gave us a comprehensive answer on Nick Foles in Philadelphia.
Yeah, Nick Foles happened to play the best game of his career in the biggest game against the best quarterback in the history of the National Football League. And it's just such a, I mean, it's the epitome of like a Cinderella story. And it's a guy that was unheralded, really wasn't successful at other stops. Like, I love Nick.
Yeah,
and like, I think he's a fantastic player. And he was one of the guys, whenever he's in the huddle, I felt like, hey, we're about to go dominate. But for whatever reason, at these other stops, it never really panned out. And I think that in some ways, Philly probably even loves that more. Like, there's something about Philadelphia, yeah. And we've talked about it. Like, one of the reasons I'm doing this show, even, like, they love their own more than like most cities do. And like, Nick Foles feels like he's Philadelphia's.
Totally.
Yeah. More so than like, I don't know that anybody feels like it's like this, like, it just feels very, very much
like
he was
like
meant
this.
To play for the Philadelphia Eagles, and that there was like this divine plan for him to come here and dominate. And just such a great person, a great teammate, and a fantastic player. And I don't know that there's any type of words that can sum up what he means to the city. I mean, you talk about like Rocky. Like, I don't. These are like, he basically was like the Rocky of quarterbacks in the NFL, kind of.
Great stuff from Kelce, who lived it. I mean, he was right. And by the way, not just 2017. I mean, Kelce was there, you know, when Foles got drafted, 2012 and 13 and 14. And of course, one of those years, Jason had gotten hurt. But for the most part, you know, Kelce was with Foles for a while. Someone else with Foles for a while. How about his quarterback coach as the Eagles get ready to face the Vikings tonight? By the way, John DeFilippo was also the offensive coordinator for Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. He was also Carson Wentz's quarterback coach, and he also was one of Philadelphia's own from Radnor High School. And joining us for the first time on the show, John DeFilippo in studio. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. It's very surreal being in the studio of the station I used to listen to every morning growing up.
So years and years, Angelo, Howard, I guess, all that stuff?
King.
The king, that's right. The king, that's right. So, John, how are you, man? I mean, so this is a big night, obviously. Two different things, Eagles and Vikings, but also Eagles and Falcons. I keep, Seltzer, how many times have I said the Eagles are playing the Vikings last week?
I know.
The Kirk Cousins thing.
Yes, it is. Yep.
All right, so, John, that plus Foles, but how are you? How's life? And first off, thanks for what you did for the Birds 7 years ago. How's life, my man?
Life's great. Life's great. Golf game's good right now, and life's really good.
James, does he have a voice like Tom McCarthy? Because I'm hearing a T-Mac.
Ooh, yes, a little bit.
I'm hearing a T-Mac.
That's a good call by you.
That's first thing I pick up on is a T-Mac kind of sound. All right, so John, let's get to the Foles thing, and then we'll broaden out to tonight's game. So I think the biggest thing I wonder is, how'd you get Nick back aligned? He had been successful in 13 and 14. He was gone. He talked about maybe retiring. He didn't. He signs here as a backup. He gets in against the Rams, plays well down the stretch, but then really faltered. The Raiders game was bad. The Cowboys game was worse. The playoffs are about to start. You got the number one seed, but like, things were pretty low, largely because Wentz out, Foles in. What did you and Doug and Frank Reich do in those 2 weeks to get him with Nick back aligned?
Yeah, you know, it was Frank and Doug did a great job with him, and I was a part of that as well. And determining on what he felt comfortable doing. Hey, we're going to manage you, and we're going to call plays that obviously that you're good at. And, you know, an example would be we had a play called Maestro up in the Super Bowl. It was one of Nick's favorite plays. We had it up six different ways, you know, in the Super Bowl to make him comfortable. It's the same exact read, but had it up six different ways where it's the same read, but it was a different presentation for the defense. And so that's kind of the route we went. We cut it down a little bit. And that's not, you know, where Nick couldn't handle a big volume offense. He could. But Nick really liked not much pre-snap motion. He likes seeing the picture and going out and executing the play. So that's what we did, and kudos to Nick too. I think that, you know, the coaching staff, we got some credit for doing that and cutting it down. But kudos to Nick too for being humble enough to understand that, hey, I can be vulnerable enough and tell these three guys that I've earned that there's a mutual trust between us throughout the course of the season that, hey, this is the route that we need to go to be successful.
Why was Nick Foles so beloved by his teammates and coaches?
You will not meet a more genuine person than Nick Foles. okay? When he comes up in the morning and asks you how your day is, he looks you in the eye and actually means it. He means it, okay?
Imagine you have some of those, that.
You pass a guy in the hallway, and you're like, hey, what's up? And you're just kind of, two ships passing the night.
Yeah.
That's not the case with Nick. Like, he stops and wants to know about your family, learns your kids' names, learns your wife's name, all those things, which it's genuine.
That sounds like suspicious to me. If I would see
John,
like, hold on a second.
Some people are actually nice.
Get a load of this joker. What's his deal? What's his motive for doing this?
So one of the things to me, John, that's on John DeFilippo in studio with us here, that's always been just a remarkable mystery for me and I think all of us. How is he so good here and so truly not good elsewhere? I mean, he was not good elsewhere.
This is going to go back to talking just the quarterback position. And some of these guys that get labeled, I hate the term bust, but I get it why people are labeled that way. A lot of these young quarterbacks are in situations that are very, very hard. You go into a situation where maybe you have a defensive head coach.
Some people need to learn how hard it is. Like, this guy right here does not appreciate how difficult it is to do this job. Young quarterbacks are trying to do.
It's very hard, and I have this, I have this, not argument, but the discussion with baseball guys all the time where if you're the number one pitcher, unless you're the young man in Pittsburgh right now, it's killing it.
Yeah.
If you're a number one pitcher drafted in the MLB draft, you're starting out in rookie ball. You're not starting out week one on Monday Night Football on national television. So we need to give these guys a little bit of time. I think that the situation you get drafted into at times can really hamper or help these guys. And I think that, the situations you see, maybe an offensive head coach, I am a little biased when it comes to that. I think that whenever you draft one of these guys so high, it's an organizational decision. And you have to practice to develop these guys day in and day out. And a lot of coaches don't really understand that at times.
Yeah, it was just wild. I mean, Jacksonville, Chicago, I guess he got signed
Nick in both spots there too.
You had him there?
Yeah, I was OC in Jacksonville with Nick, came down with me, and then we went to Chicago together.
Wow. So how about let's tackle Kirk Cousins, the game tonight. So he's had a good career, hasn't been spectacular. He's made a lot of money. He's won a lot of games. How hampered did he look to you last week?
He never looked comfortable. He really didn't. The thing I noticed when watching that game, I think that the Falcons are gonna struggle a little bit with the Eagles' pass rush. I just last week, and I'm not saying it's gonna be that way this week. When I was starting out in the NFL, I was a quality control coach for the New York Giants. And we had OCU Mignora and Michael Strahan on either side. And this was when the Dallas Cowboys had Drew Bledsoe at quarterback. We used to put an X at 7.5 yards deep, okay? And that's where those guys had to get to because we knew that's where Drew was going to be.
Sure.
And that's kind of how I felt that way watching that game last week a little bit with Kirk. And I thought Kirk did a good job of violent resetting, getting off of his first progression, but he really didn't move anywhere. He didn't push up. He didn't move to the side. So if the Eagles can get their pass rush home to that X marks the spot space, I think they're going to have a pretty good night. Number two, I heard it got brought up earlier about the pistol and the gun. You got to be better there, and I think we'll find out a lot week two how the Atlanta Falcons want to play offense, with a defensive head coach and a young offensive coordinator. That's always an interesting dynamic, a first-time play caller with a defensive head coach. You never really know until really, in my opinion, around week four, how this team really wants to play offense. So I think the Eagles are getting the Falcons at a good time on the road. When you watched that game last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers, it was an away game for the Falcons. I mean, they're using silent cadence. So they're coming into an even louder environment tonight at the Link. And I expect, I would expect the Eagles front to get after them.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. 215-592-9494. John DeFilippo with us in studio. Philly's obviously on the table. So too is tonight's game. Plus the Foles thing as the Eagles honor him tonight. Let's get to Drew in Westchester. Good morning, Drew.
Hey, good morning, folks. Happy game day. Mr. DeFilippo, thank you for your contributions to the Super Bowl. I know, your jobs can fly under the radar at times, but from everything we know, you were, instrumental in that. So as far as I'm concerned, you always have a place here and, just really appreciate, what you did there.
Means a lot, Drew. I appreciate that.
Awesome. And yeah, I'm so happy. I'm so happy for Nick. I was going to make a point on the Nola Sanchez stuff, but I'll just get right to the Eagles and save that for another day. Yeah, it just seems like he's really enjoy in life right now. And I just think it's kind of fitting that the ceremony's happening against the Falcons, because even though he didn't light up the scoreboard, as far as I'm concerned, like, his career trajectory kind of changed that first playoff game. I just remember so many,
Let me just say this. His career changed when Keanu Neal did not intercept the ball he should have intercepted. It hit his frickin' knee, bounced to someone else.
Torrey Smith.
And why did he jump?
That is when Foles' career changed. Because let me tell you something. If that ball is intercepted, like, probably a better chance than not, the Eagles lose the game, don't win the Super Bowl, and Foles isn't honored tonight. And we're all still starving for a Super Bowl. Honestly.
It's true.
Because that first half, John, was not good. The second half was a lot better, but the first half was not good.
Not good.
We'd be a lot less lenient with...
Oh, you think?
With our team, with our teams, with these last few years.
Yeah, as a fan of all...
Oh, man.
I agree with that, John. Drew, go ahead, man.
Yeah, no, shout out to him for just playing in a good second half after that. Eagles tonight, I think just a couple points. You guys were hitting on it earlier. I think I definitely want Dallas Goedert involved. The Eagles were 3-0 last year when he had more than 60 yards. I think we're a better offense when he's involved. And the guy who I got my microscope on tonight is Jordan Davis. Like, we know the formula to beat Kirk Cousins. You got to get pressure and move him off his spot. But I think to do that, you know, you first got to force like second and longs and third and longs. So I need Jordan Davis to, you know, show up tonight, be disruptive in that backfield, get some tackles for loss on Bijan, and, you know,
sure,
show why you were a first-round pick. I think it's a big night for him.
Well, Drew, I agree, and I'll add this on. Obviously, Jordan Davis was primarily drafted as a run-stuffing tackle. I mean, that's his forte. Mm-hmm. You're facing Bijan Robinson, who may already be one of the top five running backs in football. So, yeah, big spot for the big guy, Jordan Davis.
And last week you saw the Atlanta Falcons telegraph what they were doing, so hopefully Jordan Davis can take advantage of that and really, you know, get low when need be. His problem develops when he's so gigantic to begin with. He's got the perfect size, the mass, the weight, but if you stand all that up, people get underneath you.
Yep.
And when he's tired, he stands up a lot.
Hey, Drew, who or what overstayed their welcome? You can win the Jim Gaffigan tickets.
Yeah, Joe, you might disagree here. I think you may be a fan of this guy, but I think Jim Boeheim stayed at Syracuse too long, and I think it ended up hurting the program.
Well,
the end.
Yeah, the end wasn't great, but I'll say this. There are better examples from college football and basketball. I mean, he obviously, at the end, wasn't on all cylinders.
Well,
but
he had such a winning personality. How could you let him out the door?
Jim Boeheim. All right, let's go to Chavis in Coatesville. Good morning, Chavis.
Hey, fellas. How you doing today?
Awesome, Chavis.
Yeah, John, and John, I'm stop walking in your sleep.
Yeah, I'm trying. I don't think I have as of like the last couple days.
Listen, Chavis, I'm advocating for John to set up a video camera or whatever you call it, a video recorder in his phone, so he finds out proof of whether he's sleepwalking or not. I mean, why not?
Oh, I'm definitely sleep something. I'm sleep eating.
That's scary.
There's something. Right. I agree. But I think it is contained within a loop within my house, like bedroom to kitchen and back.
But that's still weird.
It is so weird. And the fact that I've used scissors.
Whoa.
I've, you know, cut the tops off of the freeze pops.
And you only know this because when you then wake up,
because
you see
the
things
next
are
morning,
different.
There was a stack of 10 freeze pops that the tops were cut off, and they'd sat out the whole night, so they melted out the one end, and it was just like blue and purple and red all over the table.
That is bizarre.
Yeah. So,
it is very
bizarre.
I'm
2-0. Hey, Joe.
Yes, sir.
I'm 2-0.
Yeah, listen, let me tell you something about the Steelers. They're not going to win the Super Bowl, okay? It's not the 1970s anymore, all right?
I didn't say they were going to win the Super Bowl. I'm just saying I'm 2-0.
Well,
we're 2-0.
Good for you, Chavis. Enjoy that and your 10-7 and your first-round playoff exit, all right? And by the way, I give Tomlin credit because I don't think he's had a ton to work with for about 5 years, and he still wins more games than not, but it's just not the kind of talent
Falcons in the second half.
Well, they do have a defense. Chavis, you got a defense. Give me who or what overstayed their welcome.
The drunk uncle.
The drunk uncle. You got it, man. Fair enough.
That's pretty good.
All right, so let's talk about Jalen Hurts. John, you've seen the Hurts thing from afar, obviously. 2 years ago was unbelievable. Last year was a huge step backwards. Last week was kind of a riddle. I mean, some parts were so good, some parts were so bad. How do you think, where is Jalen in his career, in your opinion? How good is he? Talk to us on the Jalen Hurts front.
Yeah, I think I interviewed Jalen at the Combine, and I was first impressed by him by his self-confidence. And he's a very self-confident, yet humble, if that makes sense. He's not exuding, you know, arrogance, but it's a very confident in himself. So I think the tough stretches that you see young quarterbacks go through, I think he'll be able to play his way out of it. I just like to see him eliminate the big turnover, you know, and just play within himself. They have plenty of talent on that offense. They've protected him pretty well. And I think the biggest thing for Jalen is the quarterback design runs for him are a huge part of his game. And I think the reason that you saw maybe a little bit of a drop-off last season was the injury where they couldn't do that as much, where teams were forcing him to be the accurate passer that you have to be an elite player in this league. So I think that, you know, just mixing in a few quarterback-designed runs for him is going to loosen up the defense a little bit. But I think, you know, he's primed to have a really, really good career. And so I'm excited to see him play tonight.
So one thing I can't figure out yet, it's early this season. And you would know this better than us as a, you know, offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach. Have defenses made adjustments that are limiting the running quarterbacks to gain the edge?
Yes. Yes.
How significantly?
Pretty significantly. Now, there's different types of design quarterback runs. There's zone reads,
yep,
where you're reading the man on line of scrimmage or reading a Mike linebacker or whatever. Then there's design quarterback runs such as quarterback power and, you know, quarterback draw, those things that you see the Eagles do with Jalen. So, you know, there's a fine line as a coach. I mean, you're sitting there, you're going, okay, we got 17 games plus the playoffs. How many times per game do we really want to run this guy because of the threat of injury? Because you're going to get non-design quarterback runs out of Jalen each week,
yep,
on third and four where he takes off and goes for a first down and gets you out of a bad play naturally. So there's I get it. I've seen both sides of the coin where you want to help the young man out by loosening up the defense a little bit, but it's a long season and you got to be really, really careful with a guy like that.
Well, let me just jump in, John. One thing, if I may, just for 1 second. So there was a moment yesterday. I don't know how many people thought of Hurts when this happened. I did. Joe Burrow at the goal line, he got popped in his right shoulder on a quarterback sneak to try to score a touchdown. He didn't get the touchdown. And I wondered, like, man, what is that shoulder going to feel like today? Meaning yesterday, tomorrow. Now, you know, I finished the game and all that. But, I mean, the hits on Hurts have piled up through the years. And we'll say they got to be judicious. John, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We hear that the team asked Jalen to change his interactive style with his teammates. That seems like a really bad sign. How often do teams ask a quarterback to change their personality to be a better quarterback?
Yeah, that's unique, and that's unique to the building, which I'm not in that building, so I don't know his interactions with his
and
teammates.
And that's what we've heard.
And I've been
that's what's been reported.
Right.
Yeah. Widely reported.
And I've been in situations where in other locker rooms, not at the Eagles, where I have had to talk to the quarterbacks but the way teams practice is the offense is up against the defensive scout team and the defense is up. I used to have to encourage younger guys that were maybe a little bit more introverted, hey, go interact with your teammates while the defense is up at practice. Hey, just go give the O-line a high five. Sometimes it's not malicious on their part, but it's something that, again, that's part of coaching. That you got to get the best out of your player. And so I have been in certain parts where you have had to do that with young guys.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's something, and it's good so far out of the gate this year. I mean, no talk of any of that kind of thing being an issue. All right, let's get back to the phones. 215-592-9494. Eagles and Atlanta tonight. Of course, the Birds also honoring Nick Foles. Let's talk to Anthony right now in New Jersey. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, how you guys doing? Good morning.
Good morning, Anthony. Oh, hold on. Tiger Woods would like to jump in and say,
good morning, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you for joining us, Anthony.
Yeah, hey, Hammer, man, what a pretty impressive win last week, man. That was pretty good.
Thank you, sir. Well, listen, I try to deliver. Unlike Carl Malone, who didn't deliver as the mailman on that Sunday when he missed those two free throws against the Bulls, the Hammer on Fridays delivers. Thank you. John, that's my nickname, just so you know. John's walking in here. Like, why are we talking about
the Hammer?
Not because Nick Foles, although that's
all
to
right.
be considered.
All right, all right.
Settle
all
down.
Right.
Settle
yeah,
down.
You settle down.
What would
right?
I say? No one mentioned John Holmes. Go ahead, Anthony.
What?
I'm sorry, John DeFilippo. I apologize for this.
Anthony, go ahead.
Hey, this week right here, man, we got no AJ, man. So this week right here, I think we should lean heavily on Saquon Barkley. Man, you look around the league, San Fran lost, the Lions lost,
yeah.
Cowboys lost. This is a big week for us. If we could get in the win column.
Sure.
You never know, man. We might need this game later on down the line.
It's a great opportunity. Those three teams losing is a great opportunity for the Eagles. Now, look, maybe the Saints are legit. You know, maybe week 15 we'll be looking at home field advantage of Eagles Saints. Maybe. I don't know. But yesterday was a notable day as far as maybe some up and down in the NFC that was unexpected.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought up the Saints because everybody, of course, it's great when Ballard loses in the way that they did.
Yeah.
But the Saints was pretty good, man. That might be us last week, man. The last 15 drives. They had 11 touchdowns, what, 4 field goals?
It's incredible.
Yeah. Pretty good here, it's, man.
It's Carr historic.
Has not scored this year when he's been on the field.
Wild. Anthony, give me who or what overstayed their welcome.
Ben Simmons, man.
Oh, good answer.
Great answer.
Really good.
I would say that's in the in
that's
the
outstanding.
That's the leader as of right now. Coming up in 1 minute, what Jaws said to us last week about Jalen Hurts, something to keep our eye on tonight. Jaws in 1 minute.
If your current point of sale is shaping up to be a bust, throw it on the waiver wire and make the switch to PDQ POS. It's like the MVP of point of sale solutions. Easy to use with the best support in the industry, and it doesn't take a bite out of your sales with costly fees. It's the choice of restaurants, bars, and all concept food service businesses across the country. With real-time analytics provided by PDQ POS, you can access insights to elevate your team and your play calling. PDQ POS has been rated the number one point of sale by restaurant owners for more than 35 years. So what are you waiting for? If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, bar, or casino businesses, it's time to go all in with PDQ POS. Whether you have one location or hundreds, PDQ has a solution for your businesses. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Schedule your free demo and business consultation today at PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com.
All right, so the Eagles got the win in Brazil, obviously, and Jalen Hurts did a lot of good things in the game, but he also struggled at times in some big ways. Ron Jaworski, when he was with us last Wednesday, as he will be every Tuesday at 7:25 after he has reviewed the game film, joined us last week and will every week, and he expressed, I would say, some legit concern about Jalen. Here is what y'all said last week.
In your mind, very correctable, it sounds like?
Very correctable, but I'm starting to sense a pattern now. As I said earlier, it was 15 interceptions last year, now 2 in the first game. You know, I think you got to be real careful about protecting the football. It's very seldom you win this league, -2 in the turnover category. Mm-hmm. And we turned over 3 times, Green Bay turned over 1, and we won the football game. So that doesn't happen all that often, so you've got to protect the football.
Yeah, I think, Charles, one of the things I hear John, and he says this a lot, it's a correctable, of course it's correctable, but it's also sustainable. I mean, one of my concerns.
Yeah. You know, I'm starting to see a little bit of a pattern here. You know, trying to force balls in where they shouldn't go. You got to be very careful. You know, very careful with that football.
All right, so John and John DeFilippo in studio. John, when you have a quarterback, whether he's first year, 10th year, or like Jalen, 5th year, that is turning the ball over, what do you do during the week to try to drill down in his head? Don't do that. What specifically do you do?
Well, the first thing you look at when you study these guys, I call it the quarterback DNA. There's two things that are in your DNA, interception percentage and completion percentage. If you're a high interception guy in high school, you're probably going to be that way in college to the pros. So when I was studying quarterbacks and going look at the combine and watching these guys on college tape, your completion, there's only been one quarterback so far in recent NFL history where their completion percentage has gone up, and that's Josh Allen. Coming out of Wyoming, he was a 58, 59, 60% passer, and obviously he's having a very nice career right now. And the same
we
thing,
used to make that comparison a lot, about Carson Wentz. A lot talking about Carson Wentz. I used to make that comparison trying to defend Carson Wentz. Look at what happened with Josh Allen.
That's right, and he's the only guy. And that, so that sample size is very small. So it stands the test of time. You just got to keep reiterating. There's really no drill work or anything you can do. You just have to show them that when you're rolling to your right, you can't throw across your body in the high red zone. You know, there's a lot of big bodies in there in a condensed space where things happen faster down there. Now, the thing you have to be really careful, okay, is you can never make these guys a robot. And you can never just try to program them to be a robot. Take away their athletic ability. Take away their stinger. Take away their aggressiveness. So there's a fine line in teaching it, because they know. They know. The real guys know. I can't do that. And so it's just a constant hammering it home of showing them and showing different examples throughout the league. As I was watching tape as a quarterback coach throughout the course of the week, I'd pull plays from other games to show these guys, hey, here's a situation that came up. We can't do this because. And it's just a constant education in building that library.
I hate to make you or any coach a passive observer, but is it fair to say on Sunday for those 3 hours, you're just crossing your fingers and hoping he doesn't do it again?
Yes.
I mean, once you get to that game day, it's right. going to be whatever he puts out there on the field, right?
Right. And there's a quarterback I coached in the past where you knew one of those was going to come every game. And you just hoped it didn't come in the red zone or backed up or on a key third down. And you just kind of knew what you're going to get. But you were also going to get two or three really good plays because of that aggressiveness.
Sure. Yeah.